this summer's exercise in total immersion musical training comes to an end tomorrow night for the 125 young instrumentalists from around the country who have spent the past 4 weeks honing their playing skills and techniques as participants in the 20th annual Texas Music Festival at the University of Houston's Moores School of Music. The Institute concludes tomorrow evening in the UH Moores Opera House with its grand finale orchestral concert featuring the Texas premiere of a brand new symphony commissioned by the festival and written by award-winning composer and Moores School graduate and former teaching assistant Christopher Theophanidis, a performance of Samuel Barber's violin concerto featuring world-class soloist Elmar Oliveira, the artist whose 1967 recording of the work is pretty much responsible for the popularity that the concerto has enjoyed for the past 40 years, and the Houston debut of the programmatically adventurous young conductor Barry Jackowski, music director of the California Symphony in the San Francisco Bay Area. All three are the guest stars involved with tomorrow night's final Texas Music Festival Orchestra concert, gathered in the KUHF Talk Studio to converse with Chris Johnson.
Chris Theophanidis, Barry Jackowski, Elmar Oliveira, thank you all so much for being with us in the KUHF studios. Welcome to the front row.
Pleasure to be here.
Barry, I think I want to start with you. I noticed in the hallway, you and Chris, as it turns out, have known each other for a little while, yeah?
We've known each other for a long while. I didn't count them all. I'm terrible at that. Is that about 15 years?
I think it is 15, yeah, 94.
15 years so, or more. So, yeah, we've had a long relationship, and Chris was composer in residence at the California Symphony, where I'm music director, and it was actually in discussions with one of his mentors, who was also one of mine as well, Jacob Druckmann, a great composer. Years before Chris came, I told him that I had this idea. You know, I had a problem with the way composers and conductors were coming up through the ranks and how they had to be perfect, considered to be perfect all the time, and especially composers never have an opportunity to hone their craft, to experiment. I mean, you know, maybe with small ensembles at conservatories, but very rarely will they have an opportunity to have a really great orchestra as a laboratory for them. And so I created the California Symphony's Young American Composer in Residence, of which Chris was the second one. And while I'm proud, we are proud of all of our composers, Chris is just always, has always just had a special place for me. And I think that for conductors that, you know, quite often you hopefully feel many composers' music deeply inside, there are always connections of people that you just feel something very special. And I think with Chris, and you know Chris, being the kind of amazing human being as opposed to many others around. but, you know, it's the humanity, the talent, the depth of imagination that he has that has always sort of captured my attention. And we go back, we were talking earlier. So Chris was able to, I mean, he can maybe speak to it a little bit more. He was able to, after the conservatory, to really hone his craft. And I think it's been helpful.
Well, it's kind of paid off. I hate to always come back to this, but, you know, I was playing some of your music on the afternoon concert, and I couldn't help but be reminded that, among others, your piece Rainbow Body has become one of the most popular new works in recent memory.
The most popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually,
thank you.
Well, you know, it is an amazing thing. I mean, it kind of had a period thereafter it was premiered that it was done by over 100 orchestras, and it's been... you know, I think it's a piece that comes together fairly quickly in rehearsal too, which I credit a lot again to Barry and that experience.
Orchestras love that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, as my teacher, as Jacob Druckmann once said, he said, you know, the difference between Brahms and Tchaikovsky is the first rehearsal, which I thought. So I decided to put myself in the Tchaikovsky camp for that particular way of thinking.
True. Well, how did you come to write this symphony? This was a co-commission, as I understand it, between the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and the Texas Music Festival, and that struck me as somewhat unusual. Normally you'd see co-commissions between one orchestra and another, but not necessarily one between a major orchestra and a major music festival, meaning a major training orchestra.
Yeah. And in fact, the Savannah Music Festival was the third commission, though the Atlanta Symphony played in Savannah for that. I think, you know, these kind of creative commissioning collaborations are happening more and more, and particularly with larger scale works that end up costing quite a bit, both to rehearse, to commission, to get out there. It makes sense that you would do some kind of thing like that. The opera world has been doing that for a long time, and occasionally it happens in the orchestral world too. So it's a useful thing.
A bit of more of a necessity in the operatic world.
Exactly.
Orchestras have, I guess, tried to be more exclusive.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Up until recent times, perhaps. But tell me about the symphony, though. So you get a commission. I mean, what next?
Well, Fear and Trembling. Mm-hmm. The first thing that comes to mind is, you know, what makes a symphony in a way. And when I was thinking about the repertoire that I love from symphonic literature, well, particularly symphonies, the thing that really defines those works for me often is the first movement that sets the scale, that really makes the piece about being a symphony and not something else, a tone poem in multiple movements or whatever. And so I actually went and listened to a lot of my favorite symphonies' first movements, and they all had something in common, which was they were between 12 and 15 minutes long. And so I started to set up the structure in terms of these kind of scales of four movements. The first and the last movement would be kind of equal length and kind of mirrors of each other emotionally and in terms of weight. And then the middle two would have a little bit more variation in the length. One is 7 minutes, one is 4 minutes, and so forth. So it's to create that sense of structure was the first obstacle or task.
Is the four-movement one kind of fast and peppy, or is it the other way around?
Yeah, actually,
that sounds like the exact proportions of a classical symphony.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely,
slightly longer than the scherzo trio.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. More of a romantic symphony scale, I would say it's about 35 minutes long.
Okay.
In fact, there's not a lot of really truly slow music in this. It's a pretty, even the slow movement is kind of lyrical and moving in a faster kind of metabolism, I would say. So it's, yeah, doesn't really totally let up.
That's a portion of the first movement of the new symphony by Chris Theofanidis. You heard Robert Spano conducting the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. That's a work you can hear Friday night at the final concert of the 20th anniversary edition of the Texas Music Festival. Chris Theofanidis, of course, the composer of that work. Barry Jackowski is conducting. And also on the program is violinist Elmar Oliveira playing the Barber Concerto. And I know you have a history of playing works that are either contemporary or perhaps maybe not so well-known works from the recent past. I think the Barber, not too long ago, qualified as both. It was only recently that this piece has become sort of standard repertoire, is it not?
Yeah, well, I've been one of those guys, by the way, that plays a lot of contemporary music and a lot of obscure music as well as standard repertoire. Actually, when I recorded the Barber with Leonard Slatkin and St. Louis Symphony, I believe it was in the early 80s.
So this was very early on in the history, the recent history of this piece.
I remember only one available recording of the piece
at
that time. There was actually more than one recording because Louis Kaufman had recorded the concerto early on, but it was the Stern-Bernstein recording.
Yeah.
So I had heard the piece, grew up listening to that recording, and then all of a sudden, one day, Leonard called me and said, "Elmar, I'd like to record the Barber Violin Concerto. Have you ever played it?" And I said, "No, I've never played it, but I know the piece. I've listened to it a lot, you know." And he said, "Well, we want to record it next month. Are you available?"
Next
and I
month,
said,
huh?
"Oh, for you, anything." And as it turned out, you know, I learned the piece and I went and recorded it before I actually played it with the orchestra. We went into the studio. We recorded the entire Barber Concerto in 2 hours playing time.
Just the violin part?
The entire thing with the orchestra.
Oh, you had never rehearsed? You literally just walked in the studio?
No, walked in and that was it.
Wow.
I mean, I don't even remember if... Maybe we took 15 minutes to go over a couple of things and we started recording and it was about 2 hours total playing time for the recording. And then I performed the concerto with the orchestra after that. I did it in Lincoln Center with them and I think I did it in St. Louis also with them. It, you know, all of a sudden, it was nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah.
And then, within a year of my recording the concerto, there were like 4 other recordings that came out of the piece. So, I like to think that I had something to do with the resurgence of that concerto in the violin repertoire because today it's a standard piece.
Sure.
Everybody plays it.
Yeah, they've learned it in school.
Yeah, all my students play it, you know. I've played it so much that I feel that it's kind of just a part of me, you know.
Moderator of that conversation was the front row's Chris Johnson, and you can hear a longer version of the interview at kuhf.org/thefrontrow. Barry Jacowski, the music director of the California Symphony, conducts the concluding orchestral concert of this summer's Texas Music Festival tomorrow evening at 7:30 in the Moores Opera House on the University of Houston's Central Campus. On the program, Elmar Oliveira is a soloist in the Violin Concerto by Samuel Barber, and the TMF Orchestra presents the Texas premiere of a new symphony by composer Christopher Theofanidis, who earned his doctorate degree at the UH Moores School of Music, and in the years since has been awarded the Rome Prize and Guggenheim, Fulbright, Tanglewood, and American Academy of Arts and Letters Fellowships. His symphony was co-commissioned by the Texas Music Festival, the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, and the Savannah Music Festival. Tickets for tomorrow's evening's concert will be available at the door of the Moores Opera House. They're also available by phone at 713-743-3313. And there's more information on the Texas Music Festival website, and there are links to that and to the sites of Christopher Theofanidis and Elmar Oliveira at kuhf.org/thefrontrow.